Well, thank you. What a joy it is to sing praise to the Lord. Now, I am David Stooksbury, and that's about as big an introduction as you're going to get because we're on a time frame here. I'm glad to be with you today. I appreciate you inviting me to come. So I'm going to jump right into it, sort of get personal with you. And y'all are so far away, I'm going to walk down here with you. And I want to start off, ask you a question. I want you to consider this question the whole time I'm preaching, okay? How righteous are you? And if you have trouble with that, let me sort of give you the dictionary's definition of righteous. Righteousness is the act of doing that which is right. So you hear people say all the time, are you right with God? Well, what does that mean? Are you living right? Are you righteous? And if you are, how righteous are you? So you came to church today. I'm glad you did. Got a lot of empty seats. We could invite some folks, couldn't we? Have more come to church. But you did a right thing by being here today. You're where the Lord wants you to be. So that's a righteous act. Maybe you're a giver. You give to the church, certainly, but maybe you give to St. Jude's or Salvation Army or whatever. But those are right acts, aren't they? We could all agree with that. That's an act of righteousness. To give for someone else's benefit. So as you consider the question this morning, how righteous are you? The reason I ask it is because in our text this morning, you're going to find that Jesus calls us to a comparison. He asks us, in fact, to compare ourselves to someone else. Now, you've probably heard all your life, don't compare yourself to anybody else. That's wrong. Jesus did it all the time. And I'm going to prove it to you. So take your Bibles, and I hope you brought your Bible. If you didn't bring your Bible, reach in the pew there and get one. Why come to a sword fight without your weapon? Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to take for our text this morning verses 17 through 20. And you'll see the comparison right away. I'm old, so I've got to put my eyes on. Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Listen now, here comes your comparison. For I say unto you, these are red letters, this is Jesus. Jesus says, I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so did you catch the comparison? Who are we comparing to? You can talk, it's all right, I know we're in church. Scribes, the Pharisees, right? Well, who were those guys? They were the religious dudes of the day, right? We today, in our terminology, we would say they were the church folk. They were much more than that. They'd been down to the seminary. They were the doctors. They were the theologians. So I didn't ask you how religious are you. I asked you how righteous are you? Because that's what Jesus is asking. You know, it's good to look religious, but man looks on the outward appearance. God sees the heart. And that's what he's concerned with in this question. How righteous are you? Does your righteousness exceed these fellows? Well, since Jesus invited us to do a comparison, let's do one. Let's look at these guys and see how righteous they were. In other words, what right things did they do? Because they had a certain amount of righteousness. So do you. We all do some right things. Jesus didn't say these fellows didn't have any righteousness. He just said yours had to exceed theirs. You have to be more righteous than these guys. Well, are you? Let's see. Turn with me here in Matthew to the next chapter, chapter 6, and I want to show you some things these guys were involved in. We'll just make some comparisons. Now, of course, you're making your own. You know you better than anybody else. Matthew chapter 6. Now, it's true that Jesus is being critical of the motivation of these fellows' hearts, but I'm not going to concentrate on that. I'm going to concentrate on their actions, their right deeds. All right? So, Matthew chapter 6, let's take up with verse 1. Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But," listen, "when thou doest alms." Now, what are alms? It's giving to the poor. And so in this day, down at the synagogue, they would all meet and they would have the prayer, the scripture reading, and all the things involved with the religious service. And when they came out, they'd have their bags of money and the poor would line up. Now, we didn't have Social Security and we didn't have a welfare system or anything of this day. The poor had to depend on the generosity of the rich. So these fellows would give alms. They would give to the poor. And they were very giving. They never missed the opportunity to give, to meet the need of someone who was without. A lot of folks were able to eat because of their generosity. Many people were clothed and had a roof over their head because these fellows were giving. They were great in giving alms. What kind of giver are you? Because remember, your righteousness has to exceed theirs. What kind of giver are you? How generous are you? Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case, that's hillbilly for no way, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Holding up okay so far? Let's go to the next comparison that he gives us. It's in this same text. Verse 4 says, "That thy alms may be seen, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." All right, so again, there's a negative connotation Jesus is teaching on praying, but you know these guys never missed prayer meeting. I mean, they'd die before they'd miss a prayer meeting. They were always there at the time of prayer, the appointed time of prayer. But Jesus said that more important than the public prayer was the private prayer. What's your prayer closet like? Do you have time with the Lord every day? Do you take time to get alone and seek His face? Do you throw something towards the ceiling as you go out and rush forward to the day, or do you have some quality time that you spend with the Lord? Do you sit at the Master's feet like Mary, or are you like Martha, too busy to pray? These guys were prayers. They prayed at least 3 times a day. But except your righteousness exceeds theirs, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. How you doing? They don't look so bad, do they? You know, the Pharisees, they sort of get a bum rap. In fact, if you could choose a neighbor, you'd want it to be one of these guys. I'll show you a little bit more about that as we go along. So there's a comparison. And Jesus said some other things in Scripture, and for lack of time, well, I won't take you to all those places, but he said they searched the Scripture from the front to the back. In other words, they knew all the Scripture. You're talking about guys who could quote books of Scripture. They studied all the time. They knew all that the law of God had to teach them. What about you? Do you study? Do you have time in the Word of God every day? Is it a lamp to your feet, a light to your path, or is it something to collect dust on your coffee table? Hey, holding up. Your righteousness has to exceed theirs. So they gave to the poor. They prayed almost constantly. They studied the Scripture. These guys were deep, theologically sound. They knew the Word of God backwards and forwards. One of the things that amazed me when God first saved me and called me to preach is how scripturally illiterate the average Christian is and how neglected the Word of God is. When it's all we have for instruction in, listen, right living. Isn't that what Paul said to Timothy? All right, so except your righteousness exceed theirs, you can't enter. Now, Jesus makes another comparison. Now, you're going to have to move a little bit with me for this morning. Turn with me to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, he's going to make another comparison. Same fellows involved. Luke, chapter 18, this will be the last time I have you turn. Luke chapter 18, this time Jesus speaks a parable. A parable's a made-up story that teaches a spiritual truth, okay? So Jesus is going to teach in a parable, but one of the characters is these fellows we've been talking about, the Pharisees, the one that we have to be more righteous than. So let's look at them, see what he says. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humble himself shall be exalted. All right, so here again, Jesus is drawing a comparison, isn't he? He's comparing two people. One's a Pharisee. We're already familiar with them. They were the elite of society. They generally were fairly wealthy people. People highly respected them. In fact, they feared them. Most of them had their doctorate degree. They were highly educated. They were very, very religious. They were sticklers for keeping all the rules of the law, like a good Jew should be. And so they were sort of, we would say, the cream of society. And now the publican was a tax collector. And he wasn't like one of these poor IRS agents. They're just trying to make a living. He was a Jew who collected taxes from other Jews for the Roman government. And he always extorted more than the Roman government needed so that he could enrich himself off of people. Nobody was more hated than a publican. Remember old Zacchaeus? He was a publican. Matthew was a publican, that's right. And so, but nobody liked the tax collector because they were sort of turncoats. They were working for the Roman government against their own people and enriching themselves. They were crooked as a dog's hind leg. So everybody hated them. So these are the two guys that are going to the synagogue for the time of prayer. Now, the Pharisee, he kind of thought pretty highly of himself, didn't he? But listen, Jesus never called him a liar. Everything he said in his prayer when he was telling God how lucky God was to have him was the truth. So let's just walk through that for a minute. What was the publican all about? Well, let's look again, verse 12. Well, let's look at verse 11 first. He tells a big long list of things he don't do. He's not an extortioner. He's not unjust. He's not an adulterer. Okay, well, let's just real quickly run through that. He's honest. That's what he's saying. He deals fairly with his fellow man, and that was true. The Pharisees were extremely honest people. They had an obligation to God under the law that they felt, and they carried that weight. They were not unjust. In other words, they used balanced scales. They gave 16 ounces to the pound, 36 inches to the yard. They wouldn't cheat anybody for anything. And you could trust this guy around your wife because he wouldn't run around with another man's wife. He was not an adulterer. He was a one-woman man. Pretty good, right? But then he goes on, verse 12 says, I fast twice in the week. Let me ask you something. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. When's the last time you missed a meal for Jesus? Because Jesus said we should fast and pray, didn't he? Remember when the man brought his son to Jesus and he said, I've had him to your disciples and I've had him to physicians and I've had him to everybody. Nobody can help him, but if you can help. And Jesus cast out the demon, didn't he? Later, his disciples came to him and said, why could you do this and we couldn't? Because you gave us power to work miracles. And Jesus said, yeah, but this kind comes forth not but by prayer and fasting. If you're not in the habit of fasting, finding some season in your life where you need to really get in touch with God and pray and refuse your flesh. Now, if you're diabetic, you know, be sensible. But what I'm saying is, it can be a meal. It doesn't have to be for days. This guy fasted twice in a week. I don't know if he missed two whole days or if he just missed two meals a week. It doesn't matter. The fact is, he fasted. I can tell by looking at some of you don't. So let me tell you, except your righteousness exceeds his, you can't enter. How you doing so far? I'm not doing too good. I will tell you right now, this guy's clean as a hound's tooth. He puts me to shame. Well, that's not all he did. Look what he says after that. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, I don't have time to teach a series on giving. I do not believe in an Old Testament tithe. The New Testament don't teach that. So if you've been taught to give 10% of everything all your life, you've been taught wrong. You're to give as you purpose in your heart and as God has prospered you. That's New Testament giving. The Old Testament tithe was a tax. Every Jew had to pay it. 10% to the priest, another 10% for the government, the running of the government, and then about 17% when you figured up all the other taxes. So about like us. 27 to 30% of their income went to the government, the Jewish government. That's what a tithe was, okay? But the point is not in the amount. The point is he never missed his giving that he had committed to the Lord. It didn't matter if his car insurance was due. It didn't matter if he didn't think he had enough in the bank. He gave religiously, he gave the set amount that was required of him. What kind of giver are you? You live on 95% and tip God with the rest? Because except your righteousness exceeds his, you can't enter. I hope you're getting frustrated. I'm trying to frustrate you. And you'll see the point here in a minute. So this fellow gave to the poor. Let's just run through it. He gave to the poor. He prayed all the time. He studied the scriptures going backwards. I mean, he knew the Bible. He fasted. He tithed. He was honest. He kept the law as well as he could. And Jesus said he's going to hell. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. He didn't say, yeah, he did. He said, except your righteousness exceeds this, guys, you can't enter. Well, if you're not going to heaven, where are you going? In the name of common sense. But there's a problem, beloved. I read this, and I'm not as good as this guy. Not in habitual practice. Are you? Be honest, because I can switch and preach on liars just as quick as not. What did he say about the publican? Because we know he was a crook. Let's read that, because this is what I really want you to get. Verse 14. Well, let's read verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, there's a seven-word prayer. It's his whole prayer, seven words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What did Jesus say was the result? Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So in answer to that seven-word prayer, Jesus said that it was the crooked guy, the guy who didn't keep all the rules, the guy who didn't pray all the time, the guy who didn't always give to the poor, the guy who didn't fast and tithe, he was the one who went down justified. That word justified, you know what it means? It means to be just as Jesus is just, and to stand before God as just as though you had never sinned. Here's what I want you to see. Here's why I've been trying to frustrate you. I want to do things right. If your heart's right with Jesus, you want to do things right. But we don't always, do we? God is the only one who's perfectly righteous. That means he never makes a mistake. He always does everything right. But we have a problem because God is holy. And he's set apart from us. And God cannot have fellowship with anything less than his perfection. So that leaves us all behind the eight ball, doesn't it? How do you get justified? How do you become acceptable? If this is the standard, and it is under the law. Listen to me now. Get this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might be made, listen, the righteousness of God in him. So the only right answer to this is, when I ask you how righteous are you, if you're a born-again believer, if you've trusted in Christ for salvation, if you're following him as best you can, the only right answer is, I'm just as righteous as Christ is righteous. Because that's how you stand before God if you be in Christ. I thank God 39 years ago, I got under the blood of Jesus. Changed my filthy rags, which is what all of our righteousness is, for his perfect garment, his righteousness. So my question for you this morning is, are you in Jesus? Do you know him? Are you sure? Are you certain? Do you know Christ as Lord? You'll never enter into the kingdom on your righteousness or the righteousness of anyone else save Christ and him alone. Let's stand together. As they're coming forward, I'm going to ask Jack if he'll come down here to receive you. You folks don't know me, you might feel more comfortable with him. But if you'll bow your heads, close your eyes, let's pray together. Would you do that with me? Father, I thank you for Jesus. Perfect, spotless Lamb. Who took upon him our unrighteousness. So that we might be made righteous in your sight. Father, if there's one here today who does not know you in a very real and personal way through Jesus, I pray they'd come today. Maybe you're a Christian, but you need to renew your commitment to the Lord. Perhaps you need to join the church. Whatever your need is, God knows it. He'll meet it in Christ if you'll come. Invitation's just as simply a time to respond to what God said to you today. Father, take thy word, use it for your glory now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jack, come.